Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Tehillim. After a week, a hiatus, after a break, we are Baruch Hashem back studying Tehillim together. We are up to, I think it's week 4, part 4 of Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31. And this will be the last section of chapter 31, finishing the Perek. Sorry about the little bit of a choppiness in the break, but let's do Chazar a little bit so we can remind ourselves where we're up to and we can actually finish the theme of the Perek. You'll recall at the beginning, the first section of Perek Lamed Aleph, we discussed that David HaMelech here, uniquely according to some Mefarshim, is discussing a specific case where he's running from Shaul HaMelech, a specific feeling that he had. Many of the Prakam we've seen so far are referring to some strife of David HaMelech, and specifically his running from Shaul. This one in particular is referring to a feeling that he had about the fact that there was nobody really to support him. Even the people who he thought were his friends, insiders, abandoned him, and the only person left to rely on was Avinish Bashamayim, was Hashem in heaven himself. And so that was the theme, really, of this chapter. With that in mind, we're moving on from Pasuk Chas with that idea, and the rest of the parak really follows that theme very beautifully, very nicely. Ma rav tuvcha asher tzafanta li re'echa, pa'alta lachusim bach neged b'nei adam. So David HaMelech says, you know, how great is the greatness, the goodness that you have stored away or hidden away for those who are in awe of you, who fear you, and that you have performed for those who seek shelter, refuge, in the presence of people. That's Pasuk Chaf. That Pasuk alone could be a whole shir, 15 shirim, because Chazal here, it's actually amazing, have like 10 different drashos on that one Pasuk. I'm going to share only one with you because, as Rashi here explains, that the pshat seems to be that David HaMelech is expressing simply the idea that even though I recognize that I'm being attacked now, but you have put away a special reward for those who are believers in you, the righteous. As Rashi explains, please hide that away so the wicked won't taint that. That's actually also a request of David to Hashem. The Sifri in Devarim, Medrash Halacha in Devarim, Parsha V'zos HaBracha, in Piska Shin Nun Vav, in 356, exactly describes this scenario, where Ashrecha Yisrael Mikamokla, at the end of Parsha V'zos HaBracha, a beautiful poetic set of psukim. So how fortunate are you, Yisrael? Who is like you? Why are they so fortunate? So the Medrash goes through an analogy, a mashal, that we all think is pshat in this pasuk, as if Hashem has tzafanta, you have hidden away something great for those who believe, who fear you, who are righteous. But in Israel, ask, Emor lanu matova asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu litein lanu la'asid lavo. Tell us, what does Hashem have in store for us? If we really follow all the rules, Moshe, that you gave us, what does Hashem have in store for us? And Moshe, the way the Medrash continues, says, you know, imagine somebody taking their son to see his future inheritance, and he shows them all the olive trees and the grape vineyards and all the beautiful things. And but at a certain point, he's not sure what else to share. That's the physical part. There's some intangibles you can't really express or share. So, Kach Amar Moshe Li Yisrael. So too, Moshe said to Bnei Yisrael, I can show you some physical things, but you know, in Yodea, I can't really describe to you or tell you what's Mesukan Lachem. It's kind of hard to grasp. It's something treasured and beautiful. We know that, but that's not really something tangible, physical to grasp. And that's how most of the commentaries in Mefarshim here certainly agree. This is talking about, David HaMelech speaking about the fact that he knows he's being pursued and yet has belief in Hashem. He understands there will be a reward for that. Okay. I want to, however, focus on Rav Hirsch here. He has a stunning, absolutely stunning idea that he shares, which is that maybe instead of talking about, which, again, it could be Pshat Olam Haba, it means that those who aren't Yirei Hashem, those who are not God-fearing people, those who are not invested in believing in Hashem and realizing that He is their ultimate source of salvation and nothing can protect them besides Hashem in heaven, so they'll never appreciate what this treasure, what this reward put away is. The righteous receive a special kind of bracha, of blessing, And it can't be disturbed by suffering. In other words, David's suffering now, but he's nevertheless recognizing, yes, Hashem has something great for him. Suffering does not take him away from that focus. In fact, Rav Hirsch points out that most often we see that tzaddikim, people who are really believers, who are righteous, in times of challenge, even become stronger in their faith. There's something very special. I remember years ago, Rafael Butler, a fantastic speaker, orator, and leader in so many Jewish organizations, once shared, when I asked him to speak to a group of my students, he once shared, Nar ha'isi gam zakati, v'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezav. I was young, I was old, and I never saw a tzadik, a righteous person who was ne'ezav, who was forsaken. But Butler asked from his Rebbe, v'henef libuetz atzal, haven't we all seen tzaddikim, righteous people, tzaddikim, tzidkaniyos, women, men who are poor, who are downtrodden, who are, it's hard to express that I've never seen a righteous person forsaken. We have. Some live in hovels, in poverty. Of course, they don't see it that way, but that's what they do. So, Rehenech Leibowitz, that Sal Butler quoted, pointed out that what it really means is that Lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezav, I never saw the righteous person themselves forsake themselves, meaning give up. They always seem positive, hopeful. They have a certain radiance, despite the fact they don't have much in this world to necessarily look at. And that's what the pasuk actually is saying, that I've never seen a righteous person look forsaken because they have such faith. They always have a radiance about them, even if they have very little in this world. They never look forsaken. They always look upbeat and positive. That's part of why they're so influential, the Gedolei Yisrael, the men and women who are the righteous people in our midst. That's a beautiful thought. Anyway, I actually was thinking about this also because this past Shabbat I visited a wonderful woman in our community. She should live and be well. Kanayin Nahara, Mrs. Jean Chapnick, who's Kanayin Nahara, 99 years old, the Chen Yirbu in good health. She was telling me, as she always tells me, about the Holocaust and her experience as a kid. She said, I have no complaints. I have so many brachos in my lives. I have no complaints. Yes, I went through a hard time, but I have no complaints. That's the expression of a tzaddik. It's just awesome to hear it from their lips, just inspiring absolutely to hear it. And that's what Rav Hirsch says, that maybe others can't appreciate why a tzaddik is so upbeat and positive and recognizes such blessing in life because they don't see it, but the tzaddik feels it. And that's what the pasuk might be expressing here. It's a beautiful idea. Okay, and concluding for today, Pesukim Chaf Aleph and Chaf Vez, but really the end of the chapter goes through the similar theme. Kastirim b'seisir panecha meruch se'ish, titzvanim b'suka merib l'shonos, baruch Hashem ki eflich asto li b'ir matzur. Now, David HaMelech says that shelter the righteous and cover them in your countenance from the people who are arrogant and wicked and slander them. And Hashem is blessed because he has been so amazing and wondrous to me in the besieged city. The Malbim says the pshat is that at times it seems that Hashem is hiding his face from us. That's Yastirim. But more than that, while that might be true, he also hides it from those who slander us. He won't let our enemies see us in that state of faltering. Rav Hirsch, again, I encourage all of us way back when at the beginning to buy his Sefer on Tehillim, on Psalm. It's such a beautiful explanation of Tehillim, where he says, he refers back to the beginning of the chapter, where David HaMelech, again, is really in a bad situation because even those who he tries to escape and hide among are giving him away. They're Mosrim. They're giving him away to Shaul and his henchmen. And so David has nobody. He has no allies. He has no places to hide. And so it's only Hashem he can rely on. And so Ir Matzor means you can be in the most fortified city. If those in the city that's fortified also aren't going to protect you, then nothing can protect you. And so Ir Matzor refers to that concept that you can put up all the walls and guards that you want. But if you have nobody who's going to protect you, it's only Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, Hashem can protect you in heaven. That's the expression here, and that's really the theme towards the end of the Perek. Anyway, that Perek Lamed Aleph We could, of course, go on for many more weeks. We're going to, in Mirtz Hashem, though, however, begin the introduction to Perek Lamed Beis, chapter 32, next week. In the meantime, wishing all of you a wonderful and meaningful day.